You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
The UAE plan to use climate talks to make oil deals. Live from the UK, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Luke Wilson in for Leanna Byrne. Good morning. Leaked documents obtained by the BBC suggest that the United Arab Emirates has been using its role as host of this year's UN climate talks as an opportunity to strike oil and gas deals. The COP28 summit begins in Dubai on Thursday, and more than 160 world leaders are due to attend, although President Biden isn't expected to. Here's the BBC's Justin Rowlatt.
We've seen briefings prepared for the COP28 president, Dr. Sultan Al-Jaber, by the UAE's COP28 team. These were for meetings with foreign governments ahead of the summit. They show that for at least 27 countries, the team suggested raising possible business deals, including oil and gas deals for the UAE's giant state oil company. Dr. Jaber is also the CEO of that company. The UN told the BBC COP presidents should act without bias or self-interest. Professor Michael Jacobs of Sheffield University is an expert on UN climate politics.
This looks breathtakingly hypocritical, but I actually think it's worse than that, because the UAE at the moment is the custodian of a United Nations process aimed at reducing global emissions. And yet, in the very same meetings, it's actually trying to do side deals which will increase global emissions.
The ADNOC HQ, 65 stories high, dominates the skyline of Abu Dhabi. We know on at least one occasion, a country followed up on a potential fossil fuel deal brought up in a meeting arranged by the UAE's COP28 team. But 12 countries have told the BBC there was either no discussion of commercial activities during meetings or a meeting did not take place.
I think what's really exciting about this is that he's a CEO and he brings that CEO mentality.
I questioned the Director General of the UAE's COP28 team, Majid Al-Suwaidi, at a press conference in Abu Dhabi last month.
Mr. Majid, as you know, there is some anxiety about an oil executive being put in charge of a climate conference. What would you say to reassure people of the independence of COP28 from ADNOC?
Our team is fully independent. We are very confident that our team is focused on delivering COP28, is focused on delivering the great results that we need to do.
The COP28 team did not deny using climate meetings to discuss fossil fuel deals. It told the BBC private meetings are private and we do not comment on them.
I am Manuel Pulgar Vidal.
This former COP president is worried a collapse in trust could mean no progress on tackling climate change in Dubai.
The president of the COP, it is the leader of the world. It is trying to build consensus on behalf of the planet. If any president of the COP tried to bring a particular interest, that it could be one country or one commercial interest, that immediately could mean a failure of that COP.
That report's from the BBC's Justin Rowlatt. Let's do the numbers. Gold prices have hit a six-month high as investors bet that interest rates have peaked and moved to the safe haven asset. It's currently trading at $2,035 an ounce. And European markets are pretty flat this morning. Energy shares are down 0.8% as oil prices keep falling. A barrel of Brent crude trading at just under $80 a barrel. To China now, where officials have launched an investigation into one of the country's biggest shadow banks, which has lent billions of dollars to the country's struggling real estate sector. The BBC's Monica Miller has more.
Shengzhou Enterprise. It's one of China's largest private conglomerates with operations in financial services, mining, electric vehicles. Well, it has reported that they have potential total liabilities of $65 billion. Now, that's more than double its assets. I mean, these are called in China so-called shadow banks. They're firms that operate with very similar to a bank, except that they don't have quite the regulation that oversees them. And this has been concerning for many people because many of their clients are middle class or upper middle class people. And any defaults or even concerns about delayed payments could dampen consumer confidence in an economy that is really softened since the coronavirus outbreak. It is just rocking the financial problems of an already problematic sector. We've spoken on this program about Evergrande and Country Garden, some of these where they are just saddled in debt and people are left without homes that they have invested in, which is really what was building up the Chinese economy. And so this is a very concerning piece of news.
The BBC's Monica Miller. If you're having blueberries with your breakfast this morning, chances are they came from Zimbabwe. Analysts at East Fruit say the country is now the world's leading exporter after shipments almost doubled in the last year. That's despite Zimbabwe's currency crisis and high borrowing costs. Philip Suera is founder of the Federation of Young Farmers Clubs in Zimbabwe.
It's a welcome development that Zimbabwe is on the media on a positive note for a change. And it definitely means it's good news for the farmers that this opportunity has arisen, and a lot of farmers have taken up. Smallholder farmers, commercial farmers, large-scale farmers have all come on board to take this opportunity of market that has opened up for blueberries and other products as well. So it's great news because it means the bottom line bread and butter issue is covered. The farmers did well in growing that crop, good quality and at the right time, and they managed to take advantage of the world gap. Already there are various schemes that have been put in place within the country that are assisting local farmers to be able to access inputs at lower costs or inputs at credit. And also there's a lot of farmers that are actually not even using traditional fertilizers, if I might say. They might be using more organic, but are being quite innovative on the way they're growing their crop, and they've managed to actually lower down the costs of producing horticultural products.
Philip Suera there. And a rare book the Pride and Prejudice author Jane Austen owned and made notes in will be auctioned at Sotheby's in London next month. It could sell for as much as $150,000. I'm Luke Wilson with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.